You're listening to a very special Three Ring Radio, an audio memorial to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. Listen for exclusive interviews, music, and information you won't hear anywhere else. Check out threeringradio.com for more information. This is part one of a three-part special broadcast. Caution, this show is of a graphic nature. None of the show has been scripted. Everything you hear is 100% real. No sound effects or stuntmen have been used.
Hello, you metal freaks. This is King Diamond, and you're listening to ThreeRingRadio.com with Shane. You better stay tuned.
Shane Bugby for Michael Hunt Publishing, www.evilnow.com. He came on our show to promote some of his products. He did like the Dana Plato CD, Dana Plato's Final Breath, the Hitler CDs, and
Jim Jones CD, the Aleister Crowley CD. He's got the Pentagram pint glasses. He's got a whole bunch of stuff.
Satanic kitchenware. But he flew in to do our radio show in L.A., and we hung out with the guy. We put him up in the Boone compound for a couple of days, and we just started drinking and saying, hey, man, let's take this crap on the road.
This is Shane Bugby, the whole master behind this angry white male tour. Yeah. This is my first time meeting this guy, but I feel like I'm with family.
Why can't you now say, I'll take your pictures off of my website?
A show every parent should see before your child logs on.
Meet a man who has sunk to a new low.
I have every right to do what I'm doing.
This is who you need to guard your kids against. Become educated on how to protect your children from being victimized on the internet.
Tomorrow on Queen Latifah.
Well, I'll tell you what. Coming up next, we're going to meet Shane, the creator of the website. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Pat of Penn and Teller. You're listening to Three Ring Radio, but I've been known to lie.
Greetings and salutations, if that's what they say. I'm not sure if that's the correct pronunciation. But this is Three Ring Radio, threeringradio.com. And this is my audio version of the Trenchcoat Diaries. That's a zine that I did after the first Columbine killing. I was so interested in it then that I dove right into it and did a lot of research and did a zine and released the first Columbine video with that zine. My motivation was, well, the Columbine Police Department. They were selling the video for $20 a piece, and being in the publishing and the manufacturing business, I knew that it only cost them a dollar to make that video. So I thought it was sort of hypocritical that they would be selling a video and profiting off of this video when others, they've stopped from selling and profiting off of videos and stuff. So that was my main motivation. I sell that, well, I used to sell that off of evilnow.com. I think my wife sells copies of the Trenchcoat Diary. She sells them from whoreofhorror.com. You can always check that out if you want to buy a copy of Trenchcoat Diaries or any of the videos. This is part one of a three-part special that I'm doing. It's all sort of a tribute to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, the Columbine Killers Gone Wild. I'm on their side of the whole debate, you know. And I think there's a lot of people like me out there. This show here is more clips, media clips, and I pieced together some songs and stuff like that. It's sort of like a tribute. It's sort of to get you warmed up for the other two parts where I have a lot of interviews and stuff like that. If you want to email me, my email address is on 3ringradio.com. I'd like to hear from you. Check out 3ringradio.com for a ton of Columbine links. It's really special for me today. I get to do this on Hitler's birthday, so I'm doing this right around the time they're leaving bowling class. It's about, you know, 8 in the morning. So, we'll enjoy and keep listening. This is part one of a three-part special, a audio memorial to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. The Trenchcoat Diaries.
Screaming after they chewed up something, they'd go, woo!
Imagine that in someone's fucking brain.
We must do more to reach out to our children and teach them to express their anger.
Lead pellets all around.
A little lead for everyone. All right, I want to take.
Oh, yeah.
All right, show that bitch off, man.
This is going to be a lot louder than this.
Yeah, oh, shit.
You guys see where I'm hitting it all?
Yeah. No.
Behind the tree.
Screaming after they chewed up something, they'd go, woo!
Imagine that in someone's fucking brain.
And it hurt my wrist like a son of a bitch.
I bet so.
See if you can. Look at that.
See, get out of there.
I got blood now.
You said when you saw them yesterday in the library, one of them had blood on his mouth?
Yeah, it was around his mouth. It wasn't like splatter from, you know, being too close. It was like around the mouth, like if you ate a chocolate bar and you got chocolate on your mouth.
Right.
It was just like that, so I mean,
don't know how it got there.
No, the only thing that I can think of is maybe eating something. That's just
who
what
knows.
I said. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know.
Screaming after they chewed up something, they'd go, woo!
Witnesses say the gunman went after classmates who had made fun of them in the past.
Teens are attracted to anarchy and rock music that talks about anarchy because their deepest wish is to have total freedom.
Goddamn piece of punk ass shit! Do not mess with that friggin' kid! If you do, I'll rip off your goddamn head and so far up your friggin' ass, you'll be coughing up dandruff for 4 friggin' months!
I don't care what you say. If you ever touch him again, I will friggin' kill you. I'm gonna pull out a goddamn shotgun and blow your damn head off. Do you understand, you little worthless piece of crap?
Teens are attracted to anarchy and rock music that talks about anarchy because their deepest wish is to have total freedom.
You know, this is the type of school and the type of community that this kind of thing doesn't happen at. This is where it happens someplace else. It happens to other people. This is a regular community. It's a community like thousands of other communities across the country. And it's the type of community where people are going to be struggling with this for years to come, and you don't know if they'll ever get over it. You don't know if we'll ever get over this.
When we go back to the issue of why kids kill, do you have any insights as a doctor as to what leads kids to feel so alienated?
You know, it's a large school, and in any school, in any population, there are small pockets of people, students who just don't fit into the norm. The question is, where do you need to be concerned? When do you need to be concerned? And that's an answer that none of us have.
They're known as the trench coat mafia at our school, and they got ridiculed a little bit. I'm sure it was something to get back, because the jocks, you know, ridiculed them quite a bit. Matter of fact, when they first walked in, they said if there's any jocks in here, they're dead. So I was just lucky I wasn't wearing a baseball hat today.
Baby.
we must do more to reach out to our children and teach them to express their anger.
Screaming after they chewed up something, they'd go, woo!
Imagine that in someone's fucking brain.
Teens are attracted to anarchy and rock music that talks about anarchy because their deepest wish is to have total freedom.
Like a boss! are striking a line of cops outside of the mill. There's a right to obey and a right to kill. There's a mass without roots, there's a prison to fill. There's a country soul that reads post no bills. There's a strike in the line of cops outside of the mill. There's a right to obey and there's the right to kill.
But it is the handiwork in the bombs that has both fascinated and horrified lawmen. On an internet webpage, suspect Eric Harris posted that pipe bombs are the easiest and deadliest way to kill a group of people and explains his use of shrapnel to multiply the deaths. You can use screws, BBs, nails of all kinds, buckshot, hell, staples would even be useful, he wrote. Pipe bombs are the easiest and deadliest way to kill a group of people and explains his use of shrapnel to multiply the deaths. You can use screws, BBs, nails of all kinds, buckshot, hell, staples would even be useful, he wrote. But it is the handiwork in the bombs that has both fascinated and horrified lawmen. On an internet webpage, suspect Eric Harris posted that pipe bombs are the easiest and deadliest way to kill a group of people and explains his use of shrapnel to multiply the deaths. You can use screws, BBs, nails of all kinds, buckshot, hell, staples would even be useful, he wrote. Investigators estimate the suspects must have spent weeks constructing the devices. 3/4-inch and 2-inch galvanized steel pipe as well as plastic water pipe were used. Agents found common black powder in some of the bombs and evidence that others were made from powder taken from ordinary fireworks. The boys had so many bombs they carried some strapped underneath their coat and the rest in two small tote bags. And when they finished their rampage, just before they took their own lives, police believe, they used the rest of their bombs as booby traps and stuffed them underneath the bodies of some of their victims.
Harris was sitting in his chair holding this sawed-off shotgun. He wasn't just holding it, he was fondling it. He was playing with it. He had named it. He had named it Arlene.
He kissed his shotgun at one point as he's talking, and he points it at the camera.
And he said, "Do you believe in God?" Bam, 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 bam. Everybody in the room, there was a gasp in the room when we saw that. This was planned.
It was knowing that all of this went into what they did that just was stunning. And to actually see this kind of video diary of before we went and did the deed was powerful. It was very eerie.
They talked about how much they hated humanity and how worthless human beings were. And they included themselves among that. They said, you all need to die, and we need to die too.
It was almost as if, you know, they were going to a video game contest. How many can we kill? How many can we knock off? It was this detachment.
How laid back they were about all this. How sort of indifferent, as if there was a disconnect between this reality and the fantasy life that they had. And that was driven home when they talked about coming back in the afterlife, if there was one, and coming back in a doom room would be an ideal thing for them.
He talked about dying and said that he hoped he would be at the third level or at one of the levels of the doom game. That's where his heaven was.
They got the camera off of the tripod and Klebold held it, and Harris gave a demonstration of everything that was in his room.
That was quite amazing to have him just open a couple of drawers or pull some books back and reach in and pull out some of these little CO2 cartridge grenades, essentially, that he had made, and other pipe bombs that he had.
At one point, Harris is telling the story about how his mom walked in his room and the shotgun was close by, the sawed-off shotgun, and under something. And he was mocking her for not having checked the room. If you'd just checked the room, you'd have found this. And then he said they didn't have a clue.
But they had some compassion in them because they talked about the pain that their parents were going to go through.
He said, quoting Shakespeare, "Good wounds hath bore bad sons." He quoted that about himself. And I think that is really the point. I mean, that's the exclamation point on this whole thing. He hated himself. And Klebold hated himself. Klebold says, "I'm going to a better place. I didn't like life too much. I'm going to a better place."
And he says this as he's suiting up, as he's getting his things ready.
Minutes, you know, half an hour maybe before it all happened. Putting their gear on, getting ready to go. Very businesslike, very cold, very calculated. No more of the swagger, no more of the, you know, the teenage joking around and so forth. One of them said, it's Judgment Day.
Klebold harbored as much hate as Harris did. These two guys were in this together. There's no question. There was no follower and leader.
I think everyone on Earth wishes that. Wish they would have explained more and stood to answer for their crimes instead of being, mad in the end. Mad and cowardly, because how can you not be to do all of that and then kill yourself?
Hello, 3ringradio.com. You're listening to the 3-Ring Radio presentation of A Trench Coat Diaries, a zine I put out about 5 years ago, right around the first Columbine killing. Well, what you've been listening to is news clips. I think we played a little Ramstein, some rebel music about bombs, okay? You're going to hear some ways to make bombs from the police themselves. That's right. Ton of exclusive information. Next week, this is part one of a three-part radio show all about Columbine and the wacky trench coat killers. The song you just heard, the KMFDM song, Stray Bullet, you sort of heard an instrumental mix just now with some news clips dubbed over it. I made that, and I'm proud of myself. I've never used Pro Tools before, really, before this radio show, so I'm just learning how to use it. So that's something I did. I just did out of the inspiration that Dylan and Eric had given me when I saw the whole Columbine stuff and when I weed through all the information. I'm also working on a little book for a publisher all about Columbine and the controversies and the conspiracies surrounding Columbine. You know, how did these kids get all of the bombs in there? They would have needed help to carry them in at the least. Next week I'm going to be playing interviews. I got an interview with Brooks Brown's mom. I have a lot of exclusive information in the next 2 weeks. This is sort of a warm-up show. Just giving you a little reminder who these cats were and some music that they enjoyed when they were... The music that inspired the Columbine Killers. That's really what this is. You're listening to an hour of the music that inspired the Columbine Killers. I hope you're enjoying this. Please give me an email. Check out 3ringradio.com and email me and tell me what you think of the show. I always like hearing from you lovely listeners. Enjoy.
No, you goddamn piece of punk ass shit! Do not mess with that friggin' kid! If you do, I'll rip off your goddamn head and shove it so far up your friggin' ass, you'll be coughing up dandruff for 4 friggin' months!
Go ahead.
Look, I don't care what you say. If you ever touch him again, I will freaking kill you. I'm gonna pull out a goddamn shotgun and blow your damn head off. Do you understand, you little worthless piece of crap?
They're alienated from everyone. They're outcasts, so...
Pat McDuffie says the two suspected killers were his friends, whom he last saw a week ago.
There's a lot of stuff that's been going around about the... They were Satanists and that they were fascists, and they really weren't. They were just, they actually were really nice people who just liked having a good time. And then something went wrong in their heads and they snapped. It doesn't make sense at all. It was two really good kids who just snapped. You know, they're sick and tired of getting picked on at school, or they were building up everything inside and finally just popped the cork and went off on everybody.
I'll pay anything.
Alright. $20 a day in school. You know we can't have weapons on school grounds.
That's fine. I'll get him off the property.
Alright. We'll protect you on school then. take away any bullies that are picking on you, whatever. And off school grounds, we can relocate this person. That'd be $1,000.
Thank you so much.
Goddamn piece of punk ass shit! Do not mess with that friggin' kid! If you do, I'll rip off your goddamn head and shove it so far up your friggin' ass, you'll be coughing up dandruff for 4 freaking months!
I don't care what you say. If you ever touch him again, I will freaking kill you. I'm gonna pull out a goddamn shotgun and blow your damn head off. Do you understand, you little worthless piece of crap?
The Your Mama joke. Your mama's so ugly. Your mama's so fat. Your mama's so tall. Your mama's so dumb. Your mama's so short, you can see her feet on her driver's license.
Your mama's so old, her birth certificate says expired. Your mama's so old, she sat behind Jesus in the third grade. Your mama's so old, she waited tables at the Last Supper.
You be careful what you say about my mama, because your mama's so ugly, the last time she heard a whistle was when she got hit by a train. When your mama was born, the doctor slapped her parents.
Your mama smells so bad, speed stick slowed down and stopped.
Huh?
Your mama's glasses are so thick that when she looks on a map, she can see people waving.
Your mama's so dumb, she failed a survey. She's so dumb, she sent me a fax with a stamp on it. She's so dumb, she sits on the TV and watches the couch.
That one actually hurt a little.
That's your mama.
Come on, man. I thought we were just fooling around. Cut it out. Your mama's so dumb. If my dog was as dumb as your mama, he'd walk backwards and wag his tail.
You must mean wag his head.
Wag his head.
Or did you mean shave his head and call it his butt?
You know why?
Your mama's so ugly, she goes in a strip joint, they pay her to keep her clothes on.
That sent me to college. Your mama's so ugly, she uses a line of makeup called Why Bother?
Your mama's so ugly, the psychiatrist makes her lie face down. Your mama's so ugly, they put her face on a box of X-Lax and sold it empty. She's so ugly, when she walks into a bank, they turn off the cameras.
Your mama's so fat, her shadow weighs 100 pounds. Your mama's so fat, she puts mayonnaise on her aspirin.
No.
Your mama. Minnie Keeler. Your mama's blood type is Ragu.
Oh.
They never talked about wanting to hurt people or harm anyone or commit a violent act. You never heard them discuss those sorts of things?
No, I didn't. Just, Dylan, when we were talking one time, he just said how he hated, like, all the jocks, athletes, just because they, just, like, they could walk all over people and not have to worry about anything in life.
Whatever. I was in the scene today, and it appears that they just went in guns blazing, and everywhere they went, and if there was anybody there, they were gunned down. Now, there was a substantial office a fire in the office. It appeared that they were going and looking for the principal and looking for the assistant. However, they must have escaped out of there before before the shooters got there, because there's substantial firearms damage, and nobody was hit in that location.
You're listening to a very special Three Ring Radio, an audio memorial to Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold. Listen for exclusive interviews, music, and information you won't hear anywhere else. Check out threeringradio.com for more information. This is part one of a three-part special broadcast. Caution, this show is of a graphic nature. None of the show has been scripted. Everything you hear is 100% real. No sound effects or stuntmen have been used.
He believes his friends had at least one motive for the killings.
I think they thought that they would never be known in their lifetimes. So they decided, hey, maybe if I do this, people will remember me.
Why do you think that?
Just because the whole situation, from what I've been told, they had a note that said, you know, maybe we'll get national coverage on this. And
that wish was fulfilled.
When I came home today, I turned on my TV, and it made me really shocked what I had to see. I saw a lot of children die, and some of the mothers cry. Well, I saw all the pain, and I nearly gone insane. I saw a lot of children die, and some of the mothers cry. Well, I saw all the pain, and I nearly gone insane. When I came home tonight, I turned on my TV, and it made me really sad what I had to say. I saw the searchers march so proud, pulled out by the lamb. I saw a little boy with a gun in his hand. I saw the searchers march so proud, pulled out by the lamb. I saw a little boy with a gun in his hand. So look around you, what a world to offer. Well, look around you, what we have to suffer. When I came home today, I turned on my TV, and it made me really sad what I had to say.
...2020 has uncovered disturbing new details about the suspects. Were they part of a nationwide trend? Angry teenagers obsessed with Hitler and the bizarre underground rock singer Marilyn Manson.
I'm a black rainbow, and I'm an ape of God. I got a face.
Manson says he's an artist and in no way a racist or a fascist.
And what did it mean to be part of the Trenchcoat Mafia?
It means a comment that people would accept you, I guess, and that you liked World War II and everything that had to do with World War II and Nazis and Hitler and all that.
So they believed in exterminating Jews and...
Yeah, I think so.
They were anti-black.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-Hispanic.
Yeah.
Was it well known at school that... these guys believed the same things the Nazis believed in?
Yes. They spoke German to each other and stuff and wore clothing sometimes with swastikas on it and stuff.
And no one did anything about it?
No.
Along with Hitler and World War II, the Trenchcoat Mafia was obsessed with a kind of German music called industrial noise, a group named KMFDM, which is an acronym for the German phrase, "No pity for the majority." But it was minorities the gunmen were after yesterday. A thirst for revenge against their imagined enemies.
Sacrifice.
Hispanics, blacks, and jocks.
They came running into the library and they said, all the jocks stand up, we're going to kill every one of you right now. And of course nobody stood up, but then they just went out and started shooting people at random. And one kid was a black kid, and they shot him 3 times. And then the one guy said, is he dead, is he dead? And the other guy said, yeah, he's dead.
The outline of this plan of destruction could be gleaned from Harris's website. Personal quote, quit whining, it's just a flesh wound. Kill them all.
As honest as hate! Die große Zeit ist jetzt angebrochen. Deutschland ist nun erwacht. Die Macht haben wir nun in Deutschland gewonnen. Nun gilt es, das deutsche Volk zu gewinnen. Ich weiß es, meine Kameraden, es ist euch wohl oft schwer gefallen, wenn ihr meintet, es müsse nun ein Wandel kommen. Und er kann nicht und immer wieder muss er euch da fehlgerichtet werden. Es muss weiter gekämpft werden. Es geht nicht. Ihr dürft nicht handeln. Ihr müsst gehorchen. Ihr müsst euch fügen. Ihr müsst euch diesem unerhörten Zwang beugen. Hey!
How many black students at the school?
About 14.
He was the only black shot, though, right?
Yes, I believe
so. Did you know of this group? Did you see them around, Justin?
Yes, I did. They always wore trench coats and black berets and black stuff on. I mean, I saw them walking down in the halls. They stare at me weird, like they wanted to start something or say something to me, but I'd never really think anything of it.
Did they ever hassle you?
No, they didn't.
But did they hassle your friend?
I don't think so.
You only heard that they were looking for that word you used, the little nigger.
Yes.
Watch the video, Eric.
Adolf Hitler was a very, very naughty man.
So remember, kids, dressing up like Hitler in school isn't cool.
Now, do you have any questions?
Can I see that again? That was cute.